Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. The late night host went to town on Trump versus the Postal Service. Seth Meyers said, right off the bat, you know it's shady because he did the deal late on a Friday night. Nothing ever good happens late on a Friday night. Friday night's for eating cereal at 2 a.m. and watching reruns of that cop show starring the guy who sells reverse mortgages. Seth again, it's incredibly suspicious to have a right-wing businessman and mega donor in charge of a nonpartisan agency like the Postal Service. You think of postal workers as charming friends and neighbors straight out of Mayberry. This is like if your town ice cream man was replaced by Karl Rove, and he did a Karl Rove impression saying, here you go, kid, one bullet pop. That will be $6,000. They're made by Raytheon. Seth, again, the Postal Service turned a profit as recently as 2006. Second, you're the last person on earth who should be complaining about someone else losing money. You lost $1 billion in the 80s and 90s, which was more than any single taxpayer in the country lost, and you also somehow managed to lose money on casinos, which I didn't even think was possible. Trevor Noah said, with the presidential election right around the corner, the big question is no longer will Donald Trump try to cheat? It's now become how will Donald Trump try to cheat? Trevor again, only Donald Trump is weird enough to have a beef with the mail. Every day he's less and less like a president and more like a neighbor in a sitcom. Trevor again, I mean, this guy is spending $20 million to sue mail-in voting. Normally when Trump spends that much money suing you, it's because you've seen him naked. Stephen Colbert on Twitter said, don't worry, I'm sure those mailboxes being removed in Oregon are just being cleaned and painted before being dumped in the ocean. Mike Birbiglia on Twitter, even the Grinch who stole Christmas is like, you're effing with the post office? And switching topics to Kamala Harris, John Oliver said, it's frankly amazing how slow Trump is to respond to so many things like, I don't know, a public health crisis. Yet when it comes to amplifying racist conspiracy theories, suddenly he's the Flash on cocaine. Hey, remember Chappelle had Louis C.K. over for one of his shows? Apparently the date was August 5th on that. And according to MovieWeb sources, one person in the audience said it was a mixed to positive reaction at the beginning. He was not really on his game and he got some hecklers about halfway through. CK was doing silly, non-distinct impressions of random people and asked the roughly 250 attendees to give him suggestions. From the back, some guy was like, how about the toilet seat you jerked off on? And the audience member says, people were like, oh crap, that was brutal. And then he had a pretty good comeback, which was, I don't do my best material on these shows. MovieWeb says, while the response got some laughs, the general tone of CK's material was half-hearted, with a comedian referencing a notebook during his performance, giving the impression that he was practicing his new set on a test audience. From Cheat Sheet, John Melania and Mike Birbiglia will perform two sold-out shows on August 23rd at the Monmouth Park Racetrack in Oceanport, New Jersey. The show called Working It Outside is their return. Table-seated, supper-club-style, socially-distanced live entertainment venue offering food and beverage service provided by the renowned Blue Grotto. Tables are 6 feet apart and 12 feet from the performers. Attendees must wear a mask when not at their table. Again, you're in the parking lot of the racetrack. Enjoy it, John Mulaney, Mike Birbiglia. From The Hollywood Reporter, they asked Maya Rudolph, hey, have you heard from Lorne? She said, he sent me a gif of myself as Kamala in sunglasses sipping a cocktail and saying, oh no, that really made me laugh. So they asked, you know, what does this mean for you on SNL? Being synonymous with a public figure can be quite the time commitment. And Maya said, I've never really had to do that before. Over the years, I've had to watch people come back and forth, but I've never been in a position like Alec Baldwin, who doesn't even work there, but he's there every week. I don't know what this means. I don't know what the hell's going to happen, nor does anybody else. The Hollywood Reporter asked, any characteristics you noticed when you first set out to play her? Maya said, I've never thought of myself as an impressionist. I'm definitely that person who, when I'm telling a story, just automatically does the person's voice. In that respect, I feel like I'm always listening to the way people speak. It kind of stops there. I didn't have a Kamala impression going into this. And after a while, it was sort of like what happened with Tina Fey. There were enough people that said, okay, you look like her. You're going to get that call any day now. She's got such an amazing personality and is so charismatic. That part's really easy because it's fun to embody the joy of her. She's kind of like a cool mom or a fun aunt. She's cool, but she's also responsible. So what does that look like? I didn't really know exactly how to do her, but I kept getting back to the idea of those parents that are like, you kids can smoke weed, but you do have to do it at my house. I'm not saying that's Kamala, but that's the feeling. Cool, but there are definitely rules at her house. When Fred Armisen and I used to do the Prince show, he knew how to do Prince because he loves him, and I knew how to do Beyonce because I love Beyonce. For me, I try to find the goofiest part of the person and the joy in them and kind of create a character. I don't ever really want to play a person. I want to play a character. It just gives you so much more freedom. Has she ever met Kamala? I've never spoken to her. No. When we did her that first time on SNL, she wrote a great tweet saying that girl being played by Maya Rudolph on SNL, that girl was me. It was really clever and great, so I wrote her back, but I haven't had the chance to meet her. I would love to. From The Guardian, the Trump campaign is in a fight with Marge Simpson. Yes, Marge Simpson, the animated star of animated comedy show The Simpsons, also a fictional character. The fight began when Jenna Ellis, a senior Trump campaign advisor, wanted to make fun of Kamala Harris, and she said, "Kamala sounds like Marge Simpson." So on the show's official Twitter account, they posted a short clip in which Marge took on the criticism. Marge Simpson said, "As an ordinary suburban housewife, I'm starting to feel a little disrespected. I teach my children not to name call Jenna. I was going to say that I'm pissed off, but I'm afraid they'd bleep it." They did not bleep it. That did not end the fight. Ellis tweeted in response, "Marge is probably going to vote Democrat by mail." Ooh, zing. How stupid. I got a recommendation for you. If you have Apple TV Plus, Ted Lasso is wonderful. A lot of people, including me, are shorthanding it as, remember the movie Major League? It's that, but soccer. But it's really good. The wife and I watched 3 episodes on Friday night, loved the heck out of it. And when the 4th episode wasn't there, because Apple went old school and didn't dump the entire series, they gave us 3, and now I have to wait to Friday to get another one. I was like, oh no, I was like so into it. So goofball American football coach, like gridiron football coach, goes to the UK and takes over a soccer team, and he doesn't know a thing about soccer, but he's just so genuinely nice and lovable. But the British soccer players think he's a dork, and the newspaper guys are jerks to him. But it's really, really good. Ted Lasso on Apple TV Plus is my recommendation to you. Tig Notaro will take over the role originally played by Chris D'Elia in Army of the Dead, a new Netflix movie. You may recall that D'Elia has had some accusations against him. Well, they are taking him out of the film. They are doing quick reshoots to incorporate Notaro's role. The Hollywood Reporter says, due to actors already being dispersed post-filming and due to pandemic restrictions, the incorporation will be a combination of techniques from actually reshooting scenes opposite an acting partner to using green screen and CG technology to blend her in. In case you're curious, Dead takes place after a zombie outbreak in Las Vegas, centering on a group of mercenaries who take the ultimate gamble, venturing into the quarantine zone to pull off the greatest heist ever attempted. So Chris D'Elia out, Tig Notaro in. And I'll end on a sad note. Sonny Fox, I'll bring him up on the comedy show. He was the driving force behind XM Comedy when I was running Sirius Comedy. When Sirius and XM merged, I became the head of the comedy department, and Sonny became the morning host on the Raw Dog channel. So I got to work with Sonny for a few years as we blended our two brands together. He passed away over the weekend. We've learned via Facebook. His wife Janet posted on Facebook that Sonny passed away at home on Friday, saying, "Today I lost my husband and my best friend, Sonny. Back in the 90s, you passed me in the hall at Magic 102.7 every day. You told me later you didn't even know my name. I was just the brown-haired girl from the sales department. Ever since then, you always called me your mousy brown. You slipped away peacefully today, and I know you are resting comfortably. I thank you for all our wonderful years together, the fun and adventures we shared, and I will miss you until I draw my last breath. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. I love you, your mousy brown." My thoughts and prayers to Janet, and very sad to hear about the passing of Sonny Fox from XM Comedy and from Sonny in the Morning on Miami Radio. That is your comedy news for today. I'll see you tomorrow.